Yeah.
You just spilt tea on the sofa.
That's gone well. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year. Oh.
What have you done to this cup of tea?
Is it a bit funny?
Yeah. Oh, well. I'm just glad to see the New Year's started off well. No wine and a dodgy cup of tea. Is this dry January?
Oh, my goodness. I think probably it should be.
I'm not doing that.
But there's another lockdown, isn't there? Well, we're not locked down exactly, but I feel like I am spiritually locked down with the Brits because they all went back into a pretty full-on lockdown yesterday night.
First of all, welcome to the Mallorca Mallorca podcast, episode 16. I'm Oliver.
Oh, hello. I'm Vicky McLeod. How are you?
I'm all right. Well,
cold.
With a woolly hat on. We've got an old Spanish house. We don't heat our house during the day very much because otherwise we'd spend our inheritance on sticks. So I wear a lot of rugs until the evening and then get the fire going. So it's a bit nippy.
It is cold these past days.
It has been cold.
And it's been quite wintry as well. Wintry, it sounds like a stupid thing to say. What with it being winter? But windy and cold and wet.
Hailstones.
Nasty.
Snow on the mountains. It's been quite a lot of snow actually this week in Mallorca. It does happen if you're not familiar with the island, but mostly because half of it's a kilometre in the air.
Yeah, so, we didn't get any snow where we are.
No, we didn't.
We're too close to the sea, aren't we?
Bit of a rarity there, I think. Well, I'm actually too low down, really.
Is that what it is?
Well, we're just around the corner from Africa, don't forget. So it's although it gets cold, it doesn't really get very much near zero at sea level. But the tops of the mountains here are a kilometre and a half in the air.
I'm going to have Toto in my head now for the rest of the day. Thanks.
Should we listen to the theme tune?
Yeah.
Okay. I say Mallorca and you say Mallorca. I say Mallorca and you say Mallorca. Mallorca, 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 Mallorca. Let's call the whole thing off. But there we go. So it's the day of... It's 5th of January recording this. Is that Three Kings or is that tomorrow?
Tonight is Three Kings.
So tomorrow is the public fiesta.
Yeah, the Epiphany.
And tonight is when the kings come around. This is a big deal. It's a big deal traditionally.
It's a huge deal here.
Actually, because, cultures get mixed and celebrations get mixed, but generally speaking, Christmas Eve is a big one in Spain and a lot of Catholic countries. Mm. Christmas Day, not so much so. And then the kids get their presents when the three kings come around, which they're doing tonight.
And it kind of seems a bit, I know this is going to sound a bit funny, but a bit mean that it's at the end of the school holidays that the kings come round.
Yeah, if you get so a new
kings,
bike.
Exactly. So the kings come round on the night of the 5th, they have the 6th off, and then typically they go back to school on the 7th or the 8th.
That's true.
They don't get much time to play with their new stuff.
I hadn't thought about that. You're right. If you get a new bike the day before you're going back to school, that thanks a lot.
Yeah, so it's made me think, I just feel like it's a bit of a shame that they don't get a bit longer to have fun with their stuff.
I'll have a word with the Pope.
I know. As I was saying, I was thinking, you know what, Vicky, nobody's going to change just because you think it's kinder to the children. No.
Anyway, so yeah, but we're going to have a crack at doing a little review of the year.
A chit-chat about 2020. You can turn off now.
Now, not many of us had a great year. Some of us had a terrible one. And unless you were Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Zoom, you probably had a pretty rubbish year, actually. Jeff Bezos made another 100 billion quid.
Did he?
I think so. Well, we all started buying stuff off his website rather than in the shops.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess we start with January.
Well, there were two major themes last year, weren't there? Brexit and coronavirus. Actually, and a third one, the American election.
Yes. It doesn't really affect us here in Mallorca.
But it does.
It's of interest.
It affects everybody.
I know, and that's not quite over yet, is it? But, the year 2020 started more or less with Brexit, actually, which actually happened on the 31st of January.
The actual Britain
left the European Union and went into the
transition
period, which expired, as you probably all know, on New Year's Eve, or actually New Year's Day, didn't it? So Britain left the European Union in January and then really left it again, properly, like once and for all gone.
I wonder how it's
on the 1st of Jan.
How it's going.
Well, a lot of people have lost some TV channels.
Yes,
so
that's
hit
true.
Home pretty quick. And people have had their bacon confiscated at Gatwick.
Have they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, now, we could get into a long podcast here, but lots of things have happened, all of which were predicted, but most of which are coming as a bit of a shock to people, that, there's geo-blocks on various different streaming sites and things that you could watch here.
Get a VPN.
Yeah, you could do that, but that's also a bit dodgy, but... and you're not allowed to bring in certain food items into the European Union.
Like bacon?
Like, I think meats and cheeses, that kind of stuff.
Really?
Because it's no longer part of the European Union. You couldn't bring it from America.
Your mother's
or
going
Africa.
To be gutted. In fact, you are
No,
soon,
I'm going to be gutted.
Because you won't be getting any more of that farmhouse bacon that
yeah,
you like.
Yeah, proper good. Bacon is not very good. Spain's very good at ham, not so good at bacon.
Yeah. Bacon or just don't eat the bacon, ever. Don't eat the pigs, because they're like dogs.
Right. Ruined bacon for me. Anyway, so that, those are the initial things that are going on. We've also had an added complication that because of the new variant of COVID, actually, we're already straying off track here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because of the new variant of COVID, Britain has travellers from the UK, not British people, travellers from the UK are required to have a test before they get here, and also only Spanish residents and Spanish citizens.
No, residents of Spain.
Sorry,
say it that way around, because I'm a resident of Spain, but I'm not Spanish.
Yeah, residents of Spain and Spanish nationals are now allowed to come to Spain. If you can't prove those things,
then you stay where you are.
Yeah, and it's very specific what the proof is.
Yeah.
If you're, let's say, a British resident, a resident of Spain, and you are British, you need to have your TIE card or your old residency card,
which is the little green,
which is the little green card, which is not the same thing as the NIE.
If you've not got one, it's like it's piece of paper. It's not like a credit card or anything.
No.
It's a credit card sized piece of green paper
with the world's smallest font on it. As a middle-aged gentleman, my eyesight may be fading slightly.
Do you remember when we got yours?
Actually, flipping windows.
When we went and picked ours up all those years ago now, because it was like, fuck, we've been permanent residents for, about 10 years? No, it can't be that long. Maybe 8 years.
Something like that.
And we went to pick up our cards all together, me, you, and Gigi, and they put your birth place of birth as being France.
They put my nationality down as French.
Yes.
Maybe I should have gone with that.
Because we live on Calle Francia, they got it all mixed up. It was just
should have kept my mouth shut. We should
you know, now you could be still a member of the
European
EU.
European citizen.
It was, you have to, so it's like a human error. They make mistakes, but there's been a gigantic cock up on the BA.
A couple of airlines, actually. So just to get back to that.
And Ryanair as well.
Yeah, just to get back to that bit. So if you're, let's say you're British and you spent your Christmas in the UK and you want to come back to Spain, you need to have your TIE card, which is the new resident, effectively the new identity card for Brits living in Spain, which is a photo card, or your old tiny green thing, or an application that shows a piece of paper that shows your application is in process. Mm-hmm. So you've applied for it but haven't yet got it. Those three things will let you in to the UK, to Spain, in theory. However, the memo hasn't quite got around to checking staff at all of the airlines. So there have been people trying to get back, and they've got their PCR tests and they've got all the rest of it, and they're not being allowed to board flights, but even though they've got completely legitimate paperwork. And it's inevitable there's going to be a few little administrative wrinkles. It's a bit of a frustration for people, because while they miss out getting on their flights and their PCR tests become too old to be valid anymore. So, but it looks like those are being... BA have made a mistake. I think Ryanair have made a mistake. The British Embassy and the bits of the Spanish government that represent British residents have been rapidly reinforcing this and hopefully getting through to the right people at the airlines. But there have been a few people stuck at airports with nowhere to stay.
Yeah.
They can't get back to their homes.
Really? What? Well,
flying start to the air, isn't it?
I think the phrase is, it beggars belief.
It doesn't. Well, no, it doesn't, actually. It's sort of inevitable.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I feel that a little bit more efficiency, a bit more attention to detail, especially if something like you're going to be flying on a plane and you'd hope that they would pay attention to details of everything that goes on with the plane, not just the wheels and the landing bits and bobs and the aeroplane itself, but everything else.
Yeah, well, it's their job to work, make sure
also,
people are allowed to be on.
At this point in time, there's so many other things that they need to know about to make sure that people are travelling safely. I'm just really surprised that they couldn't get that detail right.
Fortunately, I don't want to or don't have to or don't want to go anywhere. So I've got enough paperwork to get down to the pub, I think.
Only until 6 o'clock, though, because it shuts then.
All the bars and restaurants are shut.
Yes.
In Mallorca, in the Balearics, I think, not necessarily nationally, but six o'clock every day.
Mm.
Anyway, we're off track already. We're supposed to be doing a review of the year.
Brexit, January.
So that was the end. That was January. February.
What did we do in February?
It was your birthday.
Oh, yes.
It was my
big birthday.
It was.
We went for a lovely walk, didn't we?
We walked the length of the Tramontana Mountains.
We went with our friends and our daughter, and we went from Poyenza, which is up in the north, all the way home
literally,
to Sarico. Literally walked to our front door. It was fantastic.
It was fab. It's about 130 odd kilometres, isn't it? Something like that, maybe more.
I don't remember.
And it's seven days. There's beautiful refuges to stay in. Well, I think beautiful might be pushing it. They're functional refuges.
In beautiful places.
In beautiful places. No, they're all right, aren't they?
But it was
clean and warm. And
we went at the end of March. The end of February. The end of February, beginning of March. And we were joined by quite a few people who flew over from England, plus friends from here. And every day we had different people walking with us. It was really, really brilliant.
It was good.
The weather, apart from one really bad day, the weather was amazing.
Beautiful, proper sunny and cold.
And looking back on that time, we were walking along in a gorgeous scenery, tough, not an easy walk though, quite hard. Gorgeous scenery, beautiful, lots of laughs and lots of really nice sort of experiences. And in the evenings, we were basically in a hostel, in a dormitory with a load of strangers all sleeping in bunk beds and the rest of it. I mean, in each room, there would have probably been 15 people.
Yeah, someone bigger
than that. And I don't think I've been with that many people since.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the news was starting to talk about the coronavirus, wasn't it? It was particularly starting to talk about Italy.
Yeah, but it was the week after that we got locked down, because we got locked down on the 15th of March.
On the last day, we arrived on a mountain that overlooks Andrax called Esclop, which, if you're familiar, is this kind of double-peaked mountain.
Oh, yeah.
That you see out of the corner of your eye all the time, and never been there before, and you can stand on top and look down on our little bit of the world. And then we saw these two guys at the top who, bizarrely, were playing heavy metal music.
They were.
They were rather ruining the buzz.
They were. I was like, that's quite antisocial, playing loud music.
On top of a mountain,
the beauty spot.
Yeah, and then one of them said, I'm from Italy, and we all took two steps backwards. So
it's like, arrivederci!
Little did we know. So as soon as we got down, had a party, and, a week or so later.
Then your parents came to stay. That was the week when, in fact, they arrived with surgical masks on, and we were like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
and I thought at the time when your mum gave me those masks, I was thinking,
"Oh, don't
be so silly," and put them somewhere.
Your mum used to be a nurse, and she's got a sewing machine.
Yeah,
some time on her hands.
She made like proper surgical masks, the ones with the ties and everything. Yeah. Nice calico.
She was doing right though, wasn't she?
She was completely on the money, but I had no understanding about what was coming towards us. No understanding
at all. Not many people did they? And then it was lockdown, March 15th. My parents were due to go home the next day, weren't they?
No, two days later. Your dad lost the plot a little bit because he was worried that he wouldn't be able to get on a plane.
I love them very much, but I didn't want to be locked down for 3 months. And neither did they. So we managed to scramble the helicopter, and they got winched off the roof.
they got their flight out.
They did, okay. Absolutely. So and then that was locked out, wasn't it? And you started the Facebook group, which kind of eventually ended up at the podcast, didn't it?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I had a Facebook group that I'd had for networking purposes for a business that I used to do the PR for, and I had about 300 people in it, but just not active at all. So I changed the name and I got it going
to Mallorca at home together.
Mallorca at home together. And we did end up with quite a lot of members quite quickly. We went from
thousands, didn't you?
300. I think we're at 3,500 now. It's obviously the growth is completely stopped because it's not, people don't need us in the same way as we did while we were all locked down. But
so
we did a lot of things.
Well, you made yourself a little desk and sat down and started building a TV channel mostly. Within about 48 hours, I was staring out the window wondering what to do next. Within about 48 hours, you'd got people doing recipes and yoga classes and magic tricks and pub quizzes, and it was like, you know, here's today's schedule. And it was really good. You did what's the word I'm looking for? Scavenger hunts.
And that was so much
that
fun.
That was really good
fun. All the group participation stuff was really good. We did a day-long scavenger hunt for children during the Easter holidays.
Businesses were giving
brilliant.
Prizes, and yes. It was fab. Really nice, actually.
We did quizzes. We did all sorts of things.
Really helped a lot of people.
Completely, yeah.
Really, I know it
helped me too.
I'm sure it did, but I know you can be honest about these things, but there are a lot of people who were on their own, but otherwise would have been really on their own. You know, people who, and we made friends, right? You know, we made solid friends with people who we hadn't actually ever met before.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And,
that's the power of social media,
absolutely.
You know, and the power of it's like,
it's a lot of bad, but there's a lot of good too.
Yeah. Sometimes you just, I always think that my role in those sorts of situations, obviously I've never been in a pandemic before, but in those sorts of like social situations is to give people permission to start to do something. So I basically, that was what I did. I gave people permission.
Yeah.
Here's a group, here's a safe space for us all to hang out in. I give you permission to go on to take the chance and teach recipes, or I give you permission, you know, I'm actively going to encourage you to do this. And lots of people took it up and did it.
And you mentioned safe space. That's really important, actually, because you said a few of us have administrators on the group, and the rules were just, we don't want to hear anything negative. We don't want to hear conspiracy theories. If you want to put that out on the social media, then there's plenty of other places to do it. This is just about being nice and keeping people entertained and keeping people's minds busy with nice things, really. And it worked, wasn't it? People got the message quite quickly. A few people were serially deleted.
Yeah, a few people had to be removed. But I mean, I think that it's I don't look to have another lockdown. I don't want to be in that situation again. But I'm very proud of the way that everybody looked after each other in that period of the time.
It was good.
It was a really tough time. I mean, they think about children, for example, they were having such an awful time because they couldn't go to school. They were being homeschooled, sometimes by parents who were so stressed out themselves, trying to also do a job. We were lucky because Gigi's school did remote classes, so you could like sign on through a computer and they got taught that way. But lots of younger children basically were given a bunch of books and their mums and dads were just told to get on with it. Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I did. I mean, some schools were
awful.
Set up, our daughter's school was, and some just weren't. You know? We should also mention, actually, that one of the stars of the Facebook group was Holly Lowe.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
Literally every evening she did a live concert of an hour or so, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she sung our theme tune, which actually during the lockdown you thought, right, we'll need this. So you got her to sing us a theme tune. But one of my favourite stories actually was, correct me if I'm wrong here, there was some guy in Switzerland who was watching her nightly concerts and then... I just dropped the recording device, and then he got in contact with the local bar that's just around the corner, and got them to deliver a crate of wine and beer around there.
Yeah, and it happened live.
It got
delivered while she was playing. I remember because I was watching, thinking, "This is so wonderful."
Yeah,
it was really. That was such a nice.
That was a good one. So that was that's the start of the lockdown, wasn't it? We had the 8 o'clock clap every night. Actually,
8 o'clock clap. You know what? The 8 o'clock clap was a really kind of important element of the whole thing. It kind of brought us, it kind of gave us a punctuation mark in the day.
Yeah.
And that was often the time when I'd wanted to open a bottle of wine. And also, I think it brought people together in another way as well. It allowed us to say, hi, we're all still here. It was almost like putting your head above the parapet. Because you remember when we, like our neighbours and us, we all took turns to wear fancy dress over the period of Easter. Mm. And our opposite neighbours on the day of Good Friday, was it Good Friday?
Probably, yeah.
The day before Good Friday. They all came out dressed up as the penitents. The Easter penitents with their pointy hats and proceeded to pretend to carry it was like a mock religious ceremony up and down the road. But seconds later, was it seconds later or minutes later, the police came past and we were all told to get back inside our houses.
Quite firmly shushed, didn't we?
Because we'd all been stood on the doorsteps. We didn't touch each other or go near each other.
We're still 30 feet apart, but it was get inside your house. And a friend of ours down, because we live on the end of a street in a village, which we can see probably maybe five or six houses. But everyone, nobody got together. Well, I did one night, actually. Everyone drank, got some wine in the middle of the street. But mostly it was very well behaved. And then we all got shushed, so we went inside for a bit.
Yeah. But the police were very tough.
Doing the job. You know, Spain did have a tougher lockdown than almost everywhere in Europe, actually. Weren't allowed out to exercise.
Well, there was a lot of rumours and stories about people getting fined a lot of money for breaking even a simple, or unwittingly even in some cases, breaking a simple rule or not understanding about, you know, how the way that you had to be sitting in a car. You know, there was that stuff where you had to sit one person in the front and the other person diagonally behind you, and you both had to be wearing masks. And
yeah.
It was, you know, it was a really stressful time. Everybody was dealing with so much information.
Do you remember the bit when there was a couple of things. So we live in Andratch, a little sort of rural municipality in the southwest, and they had some council vehicle or something. When it was a kid's birthday,
yes,
they would dress. One of the council workers would dress up like Spider-Man,
yes,
and they'd drive around and knock on the window and sing
was
happy
lovely.
Birthday. They got told to stop.
They got told to stop as well.
And we had those policemen up north who went around singing the old Mallorquin folk songs.
Yeah, that was
lovely. Really nice. What was that one? Yoseta or someone like that?
Yes.
Yubi.
That was a beautiful video. That made me smile so much.
Made it all around the UK, that one as well.
But you know, the kind of the huge emotional peaks and troughs of that period. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. It's making me feel wobbly now. Because you go from delight and being thrilled at somebody's showing so much humanity to someone else, to immediate tears and like complete incomprehension about what was really going on. It was a very, I keep saying this, but it was a really stressful time.
So we don't go back there. We never know, really, do
you? But I think we're prepared now. We know, we kind of know what we're getting in for.
I had my birthday.
You did. April.
I'm long since past wanting to do big things for birthdays.
I think I did quite well for your birthday, though. Do you remember what you got? You got a lovely video.
I did, yes, actually, from Geordie the Clown. That was great, actually. That might have been one of my finest birthday presents I've ever had.
Geordie the Clown.
Geordie's, he's a children's entertainer, but he was doing, obviously he couldn't get out and entertain people, so he was, for a donation, he was doing little videos with a ukulele. Him and
Clownograms.
They were hilarious, honestly.
It's beautiful. The song that he sang was perfect.
Bring Me Sunshine.
Yes. I think that made us all cry again.
I really enjoyed that, actually. And then, so that was lockdown. We were let out again, when was that, early May?
I've got to say, actually, one more thing. Thank God for pets. Because in the lockdown, when Gigi in particular couldn't go outside, couldn't go to school, couldn't go to the stables to see
her. Literally didn't leave the house for 6 weeks.
She wasn't allowed outside of the house.
We've got a little garden.
7 weeks it was.
Seven, yeah.
And we got the two dogs, Auntie Nelly, who hasn't made an appearance so far, and Basil. And she, in fact, that is Auntie Nelly snoring in the background. And she'd set up little show jumps in the back garden with sticks on pots and do show jumping competitions with them. Hello. And without the pets, I think. Thank you for coming in now. Without the pets, I don't think we would have had quite so much laughter in the house.
This particular pet you're now hearing from isn't even ours. It just figured out how to work the cat flap.
She's lovely, though. Hello. Yes. Nice.
Could you kick her out?
Okay, bye-bye.
So, when we were allowed out again, it would have been... I mean, obviously, this wiped out the Easter tourist business and all the rest of it. But people were still at that point, you know, and people were worried about businesses. I mean, our little business suffered, and lots of restaurants and stuff obviously suffered quite badly, but people were still a little bit optimistic there might be a tourist season. So we were let out in May. We went, which is just about when it starts to really get going, isn't it? There's a bit of Easter business, but the summer season really starts kicking off end of May, doesn't it?
And
we went down to the beach in our little resort down the road, which is, it's never a very busy place. It's only got one hotel. But it's, you know, it's lots of French people come there on holiday and Swiss people. But it was nothing. We got in the sea the first day we could, which I think was that mid-May, something?
No, it was May the 25th.
How do you remember this stuff?
Because that's our wedding anniversary.
Damn it. There was three people in the sea. That was it. And I was related to one of them. That was it. Perfect. No, there was no pleasure boats out there. No gin palaces sitting out there on anchor. It was just us and the. It was just unbelievably beautiful. And that was, and, you know, if you're looking for positives, oh, that's difficult. Then appreciating nature around was good. They had turtles nesting in on the beaches in Menorca. Yeah, suddenly the water was clear. Dolphins.
And here.
And here as well?
Yeah, and Formentera. Everywhere. Mm. They've had turtles everywhere in the Balearics this summer.
So it was beautiful, but not great for businesses. But we did get a hotel season of sorts, didn't we?
I don't think most hoteliers would say that at all, because I think they managed to...
They opened up and got some people
weeks,
in for a bit.
And then that was it. And they had so many... quarantining measures still, like social distancing things going on. It was very hard for people to really see how they would be able to relax on holiday.
Yeah, I think that was it, wasn't it? And some of the people who did come here on holiday also, I'm afraid to say, viewed it as a holiday from the virus. You know, they came here and misbehaved a bit in Magaluf and didn't wear their
Magaluf
masks.
Magaluf didn't last long. The Punta Ballena didn't last long.
No, they shut down the strip after misbehaviour of a very small number of individuals, but they shut every business, regardless of whether it was a bar or a tattoo parlour.
It was an excuse, though, surely.
It was an excuse, yeah. We did a podcast with Richie Pryor. One of the first ones, yeah. He's been working in Magaluf forever and works for the Pirates Adventure Show, which is a huge, long-running institution in Magaluf and in Mallorca in general, but they didn't open last year. But so he's had a year off, more or less. I'm sure he's been working on the radio station, Radio 1 Mallorca. But I think it's the first summer he's actually had off in 25 years. So
I mean, from that point of view, from a we can't go anywhere, isn't Mallorca a beautiful place, and there aren't any other visitors here? I mean, the summer of 2020 goes down as one of the nicest ones because the weather was really lovely and the beaches were beautiful and clear. The only real downside, apart from of the deadly virus, was also that nobody's really got very much money. It's not like we could go out and eat very much. But
well, that's true, isn't it? So bars and restaurants open and go, come and see us. And go, well, we haven't been earning as much money.
Yeah, exactly. So we did our bit. We supported our local restaurants as much as we could, and local businesses in general. But it wasn't long before Britain started saying you shouldn't be travelling to Spain.
That's right, yeah. They put the...
They put a travel ban.
No, it wasn't a travel ban. It was you had to quarantine for 14 days after you returned from Spain.
So, yes.
Which kind of put a lot of people off. Most people are going, well, you know, A, the holiday with all the various different mask restrictions doesn't look like it's going to be that much fun. Mm. And then we've got to quarantine when we get home and I've got work and I don't really... So that pretty much knocked the British chunk of business on the head. And I think Germany followed suit quite soon afterwards. Mm-hmm. So any green shoots of a recovery of the holiday season were pretty much kicked into touch pretty quickly, weren't they? And that's more or less been a sort of slide downhill since then, I'm afraid to say.
But from the virus point of view, we had very low contagion rates for quite a while.
It is.
And the schools went back in finally. After that being shut since March, they allowed pupils back into classrooms in September.
Yeah.
And Gigi went back at the end of September. They kind of phased all the kids back into school. And to this day, though, there are kids that are doing 1 week off, 2 weeks on, week off, 2 weeks on, just to kind of reduce the number of children that are actually in the place.
And
they've all had to wear, to wear masks every single day since September.
And have windows open.
Yeah, I mean, she goes to school with a blanket. She wraps it around her legs to keep warm. Bless her.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Ollie. It's been such a tough year. And it's been as surreal in so many ways. But the thing that, I mean, this is going to be, the thing that makes me, I keep coming back to in my mind is, Well, who do we think we are going on international travel and expecting holidays and all the rest of it? Actually, all of these things which you've been restricted from doing, all of them were luxuries and never were they rights anyway.
No.
The biggest right that we have to really fight for is our right for our health. And that sometimes means doing what we're told.
And the thing that defines civilization, without which we're all animals, is a society that looks after its weak. A society that looks after its old and its sick. When the fit people and the workers look after those who can't. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of things that, well, you know, we'll leave them to die and we can carry on.
Yeah.
But actually, the reason that we're locked down or have been locked down and the reason we have these restrictions is not because, touch wood, that you or I are at any serious risk of coronavirus. It's because we're protecting the weak. And that is the definition of our civilization. So it's what we should do. We have a moral right to do it.
Yeah.
Moral obligation to do it. And I think, yeah, I mean, it's a shame. You're right, though. Going on your foreign holiday isn't a human right. Unfortunately, it is exactly how this island makes a living. So
I know that.
Yeah, we shall see what happens this coming year.
What I'm trying to say is that people are that putting it in perspective, which is more concerning, not getting your holiday or losing a loved one through a virus that you could have prevented yourself from getting by following the rules. I know that sounds so blunt and hard, but that occasionally I've been thinking that in my I'm thinking is that fair to say that, or am I being a bit over the top?
The cold hard numbers of this are quite stark. You know, we are talking about thousands of people, around 1,000 people a day in the UK dying, and different numbers all over the place. But it's a big chunk of people all the time, and health services becoming overwhelmed. It's and it is time for stark choices. It is time to you can't. There's no point sugaring a pill, really. But yeah, we on positive news, as you know, vaccines are there. Vaccines are effective. And now they've just got to get on and get them out. You know, as we mentioned at the start, the UK is headed into another 6 weeks or so of lockdown as of today, actually. Schools are closed in the UK. No sign of that here in Spain yet, although cases are slightly increasing depending on where you are in Spain. So can't rule any of that out. But hopefully, it seems that this is a question of restricting movements and restricting mixing and restricting transmission of the disease while you can get the vaccine out in decent numbers. Spain has vaccines and it's rolling it out with different success in different places.
They've got levels of who's going to get it first, and they're going to go with personnel sanitario first.
Health workers.
Yes. Including people that are working in all people's homes, and auxiliary people around vulnerable people. They're going to start with them, and then they're going to do people of 80 or over.
They've already started with those, haven't they?
Yes, and then they're going to do people between 65 and 79, and then they're going to do people with I don't know the word in English.
Comorbidities.
Thank you.
Which are things, I think, risk factors like
diabetes
or asthma. Or
yes, something. Exactly. So anybody with a condition. And then they're going to go with people who are, so for example, prisoners, refugees, and people that are migrating here from sort of other, maybe not Britain. institutionalized. They're saying institutionalized people and people at risk of social exclusion. So I guess also homeless people, that sort of thing. And then they're going to do the essential personnel. So that's transport, education, food workers. Then they're going to do anybody under 55. And then they're going to do me and you and Gigi. Mm-hmm. So we are literally level 8. You know, we are the last, we are the group 8.
There's a timeline on there, but June, isn't it? They're supposed to be going to them.
Not on this thing I'm looking at.
I saw something that, similar to the graphics you're looking at there, was saying that the final ones are around June. Now, vaccines are, there's been some criticism this week of various different regions in Spain about how quickly they're administering vaccines.
Yeah.
at the moment, the Balearics has, I think it said it's used 35% of the vaccines available to it.
Wow, already.
So yeah, I mean, obviously it's getting resupplied every week, right? But, you know, the and that puts it amongst the higher performers, if you like. Some regions in Spain, for whatever reason, are using a much smaller percentage of the vaccines that are available to them. But, I mean, I guess what you want to get to, and this is wherever you are, is you want to be you want to be using 100% of the vaccines all the time, you know, just get it to as many people as you can. So, well, they'll be ramping up the vaccination facilities. Ibiza apparently stalled a bit on its rollout, because I think some health workers actually were tested positive to that, took a little bit of their capability out of the system. Bear in mind, in Ibiza, there's not many people in winter, you know, so it's you take a few vaccination operatives out of the system, then you suddenly, you know, you can infect those numbers. But they're looking for clarification that they'll be caught up, if you like, from the regional government. But they're doing pretty well here, I think. So let's long may it continue, really, that they keep doing this and keep improving the facilities.
The I'm just looking at the coronavirus statistics at the moment for Mallorca. It's gone down by 0.68% in the last week.
It's still over 500 cases per 520 cases per 100,000 or something, which is high. But and it's been more or less that level for a while in Mallorca.
It's 608 in Mallorca.
Okay, I saw something. All right. So, but it's
per 100,000.
It's no longer the highest in Spain. So I think what they seem to be doing in Mallorca is more or less slowing the rise, you know, effectively it's kind of flatlining a little bit up or a little bit down, whereas other places in Spain are heading up. And as you've probably seen in the UK with this new variant going through the roof, particularly in the southeast of Britain, so of England. So, I don't know. I was going to say, hopefully they're doing a good job. Of course, I'm hopeful they're doing a good job. I think they are doing a good job, it seems. I mean, it's just.
The thing is that, for example, Christmas, we had a limit on the amount of people we could have at Christmas, two households, maximum six people. When you're talking about Spanish family, that's not very many people.
No.
But we had us three and my mum and Martin, her husband here, from France. That was two households, five people. But this is so difficult after such a long time apart, I should imagine, for people who are elderly to not see their loved ones and their families, and vice versa. Very hard for them to continue to stay distant from each other. But they've really got to, because until everyone's had the vaccinations, it's just going to too much of a risk.
I mean, that's the worry, isn't it? Is everywhere. I mean, in the US, for instance, they had a post-Thanksgiving spike. You know, Thanksgiving ended last Thursday in November, is that right? So despite restrictions, lots of people got together. And a couple of weeks later, America got this huge wave of cases. There's a worry in Europe, certainly Spain and the UK, that people getting together over Christmas is going to end up with a big spike. But I guess we'll find that out in the next 7 days or so. That's certainly the issue that the health services in Spain and the UK are concerned about. But and tonight, Three Kings parades, where normally people get together in huge crowds, have been cancelled or modified. We have the Three Kings coming past our house.
We do.
Later on. We'll do a recording of that.
Yeah.
But and the next one, big one for Mallorca, is normally San Antoni.
Oh, that's not
going
to happen.
Which I think is going to be cancelled. I think
it's such a bummer. It's the best one of the whole year.
It's some. Excuse the skimpy research, but I think it's some Roman slave who got shot with arrows or something. It's a patron saint.
Ollie, we'll do a proper one about Sant'Antoni separately.
Yeah, it's
But let's talk a bit more about the winter of 2020, but not about the coronavirus, because there's two other things that we haven't spoken about, which is the shit show that was the Brexit agreement.
It was
a circus watching it all happen. And of course the other circus over the pond in America, which is continuing.
Yeah.
Two of your favourite subjects. I'll go make the tea.
I do get weary. But, you know, well, as you probably know, there was a Brexit deal of sorts. Well, there was a Brexit deal, actually. It's not of sorts. Whether it's a good one or not, we'll find out. But that was announced on Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
Was it Christmas Eve?
It was Christmas Eve.
Goodness me.
Christmas present for everybody.
Is somebody trying to cheer everyone up?
Claim victory of something. But it's a 1,200-page document of dense legal text. So even if you read it all,
super heavy.
Even if you read it all, you've got to be a lawyer really to understand it all. Parliament is going to have to vote on it without actually. Well, in fact, the Parliament has voted on it without actually really having a chance to read it.
That's so, really bad.
Yeah, there's going to be inevitable smellies that are found. You know, there are various different. I'm not going to go into it now because I haven't read it and I'm probably never going to read it. And I'm relying on journalists who've only read it in bits. But there are certain. It's not quite. But it's not the deal that Boris Johnson promised to people who voted to leave.
But was he. Hang on a minute. Was he on the. On the campaign, the Leave campaign, or did he just.
Yeah, kind of course he was.
But I mean, was he one of the ones going. 350 million for
the
NHS?
He was the one standing in front of the bus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, there are various different borders in the Irish Sea, which they said there weren't going to be. There are concessions on fishing, which they said there weren't going to be. The level playing field, which we mentioned a few times, is not without sanction. So, if Britain isn't playing along with European Union regulations, then there are periods when the European Union can reimpose tariffs. So actually, it's not really any wins at all. So Britain can make its own regulations, but if it makes its own regulations that are too far apart from Europe, then it ceases to be able to trade with Europe. So it isn't really a trade deal. But anyway, it's early days on that, and stuff will come out. There haven't been the queues at Dover that people were predicting, mostly because a lot of hauliers have decided to avoid Dover for this period of time, just in case there's any problems. So until the world gets back to normal, whatever that is, it'll probably be difficult to see, to smoke out any of these problems. But anyway, there is a Brexit deal. Brexit has happened, and lots of people are starting campaigns to rejoin.
Yeah.
So, and the other one's the American election. We are, where are we? 20th of, the inauguration of Joe Biden.
Is it soon?
Is on the 20th.
Are we going to take the day off to watch that on telly?
It'll be in the evening, won't it?
Do you remember when Donald Trump got elected?
Did he?
In?
No, yes, of course.
No. What we were doing.
We were in a cruise
ship. We were on
ship.
Holiday, weren't we? We went on our first and only ever cruise.
Yeah.
And we got very drunk. Frozen margaritas.
I think that might have happened even if Donald Trump wasn't on the telly.
I was going to blame him for it.
We weren't very far from the bar. We had an all-inclusive drinks package. Yeah, it was only going one way. It's
very messy. Very messy week of drinking.
But, I told you it was going to be fun, didn't I, then?
You did.
I didn't anticipate quite as much fun.
Fun, in inverted commas.
Fun, air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's still. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday that the news broke about the tape was revealed of him basically begging? Is it the Senate? No, who is it? The thing. What's the guy from
Republican
Georgia?
Governor of Georgia.
The governor of
Georgia. He's taken the fun right down to the wire here.
Was he a Republican governor?
Oh yeah, yeah. So this is someone who's
supposedly
been a defender
on the same
Trump.
Side.
So Donald Trump was recorded. Actually, he sent out a tweet the other day saying, "Just had a." Telephone call with the Republican governor of Georgia, and he criticised him in the tweet. So the Republican governor of Georgia went, well, actually, if you're going to put your side of the call out, I'm going to put the recording of the call out, let everyone else make their minds up. But basically what happened was Donald Trump is 11,000-odd votes short of winning Georgia. Now, if he wins Georgia, it doesn't mean he's going to win the election because he needs another two states, which he's not going to get. But for some reason, he's fixated on winning Georgia. And he was saying, cajoling, basically, saying, I need, get me another 11,300 votes or whatever it was. Find them for me. They said, look, there's no... And then he started cajoling him, saying, look, there's no... You know, you can go ahead and and you know, recalculate the result, if you like, you know. And then he started threatening him with lawyers, and he threatened his reputation. And it was just a complete threat. It was basically...
It was ugly.
And he didn't quite use these words, but it was absolutely obvious that what he said was, make it look like I won, or I'll sue you, or threaten you, or... And that's exactly what it was. It was an hour-long tape. During which, he managed to fart and then say, excuse me.
I missed that bit.
And we did. You don't look at the same as the internet, I do. That's beside the point. Yeah,
but how soon do you think it would be after... do you think anybody... has it been proven that it is Trump, or has he denied it? Because here's the thing. A lot of conspiracy theorist types will just say that that's an actor pretending to be him.
Of course they will.
So has he denied it?
He said he's had a call. No, he hasn't denied it. And he's... he's clearly... broken a constitutional law there, which apparently has 3 years in prison. But it's
only 3 years.
Yeah, but it's a question of whether people look. He's going anyway, right? He's not going to be president very much longer. So, is it worth dragging him over the coals to prove a point, to try and do the thing, or just to let him slide off into ignominy or whatever
into? No, he should be punished for being terrible.
Yeah, well, you'd hope so that it wasn't about pressing charges. So we'll see what happens anyway. But I mean. Depending on who you listen to, there's quite a lot of stuff floating around that's going to come and bite Mr. Trump on the bum. So I don't think we've heard the last of him anyway. And whether he's going to come along and magnanimously concede defeat.
Shake Biden's hand.
It seems unlikely. Doesn't it, that Donald Trump will suddenly become all gracious?
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't seem to have been gracious in anything in his life ever. So whether he's going to suddenly... He won't, will he? He'll just go and hold some rally. Now, there is a... I'm going to get this wrong, I think, but there is a decision, an election in Georgia.
Yeah, it's today.
Today.
It's today. That's going to be... It's crucial
that the
Democrats win it.
It is, and they probably will win it, but apparently he's called for his supporters to stand outside and shout rigged election or something.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. Anyway, look, Joe Biden's going to be the president in 2 weeks, and Donald Trump is going to... We haven't heard the last of him. He'll be, no doubt, setting up some media career or going to prison or a combination of all of those things.
So, and then we got to... the end of the year, we had Christmas. It was a very quiet Christmas.
Yeah, and even quieter New Year.
Bill Bailey won Strictly, as per the last podcast.
Yeah,
and now it's 2021.
We're all staying in.
What's your resolutions for this year? Do you have any?
No, I don't think so. Just, try and... The standard thing, really. Try and be nice. And try and be happy. One of those sort of things. So... Yeah, no, I try and do that every day. Don't always succeed.
Yeah, I think be more grateful, be more mindful of the things that you have in your life.
Yeah.
Be more grateful for them. And express it. Don't just feel it.
No.
Say it.
I suppose valuing your health as well. If you and your people are happy and healthy, you're winning at the moment. You know, and we can all worry about having the latest iPhone another year.
Oh, I'm not worried about that.
No, I'm not. But, you know, when it comes back to... whenever you're under crisis, it comes back to the fundamental things, doesn't it? It's relationships and your people and your health. So we look after those.
And your pets.
And your pets.
Yes. Of which we have many. Yay!
Slightly too many.
Oh, I don't...
Anyway, are we done?
You can never have enough pets.
Are we done? We should...
What are we going to do in our podcast? Maybe that should be our New Year's resolution, that we'll get better at podcasting.
Well, we're doing our best. We should leave you with the Three Kings. We'll have a little practice.
But this is kind of like the official end of Spanish Christmas.
It is.
We have to take the tree down.
We do. And then we'll talk to you about San Antonio next podcast.
Will we?
Well, maybe we would.
Yeah, but maybe the one after next, because it's not for a couple of weeks.
You're right.
We should try to get ourselves organised. Be a bit more frequent.
I think so.
Less rambling, more actual interesting stuff for the listener.
What is the official salutation of the Three Kings? Do you say Happy Three Kings or...
Felices Reyes.
I got the dud one.
Happy New Year.
Here come the kings. This was the bit where I was going to insert an audio recording of
people cheering.
The Three Kings coming past. But basically it was a tractor with a trailer and three very cold-looking people in fancy dress going past, waving at
almost nobody. But it was so nice, Ollie.
So we haven't included that. But it was just to tell you what happened, actually.
It's a COVID-friendly Three Kings procession, because normally what would happen is people would gather on the streets and the kings would parade past. In Parma, particularly, it's huge.
Yeah.
And they arrive by a boat, and it's really exciting, and the kids get really excited because the kings are coming. And with the kings come presents, because that's what the kings brought to baby Jesus.
Because you bring your... Yeah, they bought PlayStations and bikes.
Yeah. Don't be so simple.
No, it's lovely.
Because that's what Father Christmas also does.
Because ordinarily, they would... You go to the local church mostly, don't you? If it's in a village, quite how it works in Parma.
When Gigi was smaller, younger, we did that one year. We gave a present to the church, and they call out the kid's name, and they go up and they get the present. It's actually really lovely.
It is lovely,
because
actually,
the kid doesn't really realize, in their innocence, they don't realize it's all been manipulated behind the scenes.
That your mum and dad gave them to
Wizard
the king.
Of Oz.
Yeah, exactly. So that's. It's a lovely tradition, actually. But what happened tonight? There's a couple of people with young kids, more or less our next door neighbours, and the kings came along in their tractor and
gave them a present.
And delivered it at the doorstep.
Because the people, there's a really nice group of people in our village called the Caparots, and they are a bunch of people that do all these community events, and they organise all sorts of things, and they did that.
Yeah.
I feel a bit choked.
Well, happy Three Kings.
Well, yes, because now it's after 6 o'clock now. Listen.
I didn't get you anything.
I don't need anything. I've got my health. I'm good. I've got my health and a glass of wine.
Happy Three Kings to you all, and we'll speak to you next time. Bye. Oh.